comics are a terrific medium for getting your message across. The United States military has always used comic to explain things. And Will Eisner, the famous creator of The Spirit, did a number of comics for the United States Army, which covers things on how to clean your weapon, how to set up a bivouac, and they still use comics.
I'm Nick Armstrong, the Geek in Chief of WTF Marketing, and this is the Fort Collins Startup Week podcast. Today, I am joined by Mike Barron, a two-time Eisner Award-winning writer in our very midst here in Fort Collins. I am so excited to get to talk to Mike. I get to see him all the time at Fort Collins Comic-Con. If you're a fan of comic books, you've surely heard of Mike Barron's work on the Punisher series. And also, Mike is just prolific. Let's get to know more about this awesome writer in our community.
Hi, this is Mike Barron. I've been a comic writer all my life. In 1981, I created Nexus with the artist Steve Rood, for which we've won every industry award. Nexus is about a cosmic adventure 500 years in the future. A year later, I created Badger, which is about a multiple personality, one of whom is a costume crime fighter. Badger's only superpower is his ability to talk to animals. I have also written The Punisher, Flash, Dead Man, and Star Wars, among many other titles.
You also just released your own comic, Q-Ball.
Yes, we crowdfunded Q-Ball. It's mostly a Colorado production. I'm working with an amazing artist in Denver, Barry McLean Jr. Even though we kickstarted the first issue, we were picked up immediately by Antarctic, which will publish Q-Ball later this year. It's a five-issue series.
Who is doing the best work in comics in northern Colorado?
Well, I've often worked with Lee Oakes, who lives here in Fort Collins, and he's an amazing artist. Zach Howard, who's from Denver, is also an amazing artist. He's working on The Cape with Joe Hill from IDW. Roger McKenzie, the great Marvel artist who's famous for his work on Daredevil, also lives in Denver. Ozzie Longoria is putting out a horror anthology. Ozzie's a very talented artist. There's a lot of talent here. In fact, we have a meeting group the first Saturday of every month at Griffin's. It's headed by Ron Fortier. Ron's a well-known comic book writer who wrote The Green Hornet for Now, and has a ton of his own books out. So there's a lot of talent up here. I'm always amazed, but not surprised when I run into more talent.
And what would you say are the biggest challenges in either comic writing or artistry in Colorado?
Everybody has a personal challenge to do their best work. It's difficult to break into the system. If you want to work for Marvel or DC, there are all sorts of hoops you have to jump through. But I tell people from personal experience that the best way to get a job with a major publisher is to put out your own comic. And bear in mind that you only get one chance to make a first impression. So do something outstanding, and they will notice it, and they will give you work.
So what are you most looking forward to in terms of Startup Week?
Meeting new people, delivering a speech coherently.
Do you teach pretty regularly?
I haven't taught since last summer, but I did offer a course in novel writing, and it was very successful. And I have plans to launch a YouTube channel on how to write with my friend Ray Harvey, who also is from Fort Collins, and Ray is an accomplished novelist as well. I have 11 novels out. Four of them are in the Bad Road Rising series, featuring my biker hero, Josh Pratt. He's a reformed motorcycle hoodlum who went to prison, found God, came out, determined to do good works, but the only work he could get was delivering summons for sleazy lawyers. But people keep coming to him with their problems because he straddles that gray area of the law with one foot in legality and one foot in the outlaw, and he knows how to get things done.
Are people seeking out original fiction off the beaten path of pop culture?
Not yet. It's just a matter of getting the word out, because I can speak with confidence that my stuff is world class. And it's just that I'm on a tiny publisher, Liberty Island Press, and there are 1 million novels published a year. That's no exaggeration. Of course, most of them are self-published, and they're just crowding up the shelves. And I don't want to speak ill of my fellow writers, but a lot of them just aren't professional quality, especially the self-published ones. And they're all out there fighting for space and elbowing for room. And I know that there are terrific writers, just great writers out there that can barely make a living at it. There's a guy named Ron Faust. There's so many great writers from the 70s and 80s that have disappeared. But I have friends who write, and they write really well, and they're just struggling for shelf space. The average bookstore these days, Barnes & Noble, is the only mass chain left. We used to have B. Dalton and Walden Books and Borders, and they're just hanging on. This is all due to changes in technology, because most book sales these days are digital, and I can understand that, especially if you're traveling a lot. The physical book has been left behind, and a store like Barnes & Noble can't afford to have books sitting on their shelf that don't sell. They're very picky about what they put on the shelves, and it's all dictated by the bestseller list. And if you go into a Barnes & Noble, you'll see that they now heavily feature toys and other objects that aren't books at all. Toys and puzzles and miniature figurines that now make up a lot of their sales. And on the other hand, the independent bookstores are thriving.
That same pattern's repeating in the comic book industry?
The comic industry is in free fall. They don't know what to do. And one of the unspoken problems with it is, I think that video games have created a generation of kids that aren't all that eager to read comics. And my opinion is that the average $4 or $5 comic really can't compete with a really good video game in terms of value for your dollar. The video game is simply more engrossing. This doesn't have to be the case, but in my opinion, most of the comics being written today aren't very entertaining. The writers don't know how to tell a story. They have a number of talking points which they shoehorn in, and that's the book. But the whole goal in the type of fiction that I do and that my friends do is to grab the reader by the throat and drag him into the narrative so that he no longer feels that he's experiencing an artifice, but is totally absorbed in the adventure. And a good book, a movie, or comic can do that. And comics can still do that.
Is there any one artist or author who we should be absolutely paying attention to as a rising star in Fort Collins or Northern Colorado beyond?
In terms of art, Zane DeGane is doing some amazing work. So one comic that's never failed to deliver is Stray Bullets by David Lapham. And I believe that David lives in Arizona or someplace, and that's been around for at least 20 years. But those stories are absolutely gripping. They're very well written. They're grim, though. And that's just, you know, that's just one guy that I like. But there are a lot of good writers out there. I always like Alan Moore. He's a terrific writer.
If you could tell the local Northern Colorado business community one thing, what would it be?
Well, the comics are a terrific medium for getting your message across. I mentioned Lee Oaks. We did a 3-issue series for Popeye's Chicken. It's just a good story. It's kid-centric. It's kid-friendly. It doesn't lay on the Buy Popeye's Chicken too heavily. And I know of a firm here in town that's putting out their own comic on sexual harassment. The United States military has always used comic to explain things. And Will Eisner, the famous creator of The Spirit, did a number of comics for the United States Army, which covers things on how to clean your weapon, how to set up a bivouac, and they still use comics. I have boxes of educational comics in my basement from insurance companies and finance companies explaining what they do in an entertaining manner. Now, it's not easy to make insurance and finance entertaining, but this is one way to do it. As people read comics, they understand comics. You see a story in pictures, you just want to pick it up and follow it. There's such a wide range of material. For instance, Octavia Butler, as a very well-known science fiction writer, her novel Kindred has been turned into a graphic novel, and it's very well done. And if you look at the huge body of autobiographical works that are appearing as graphic novels now, and these are outside the traditional comic market. They're not about superheroes. They're about private lives. I have one by Bill Griffith, which is about his mother's affair with a famous cartoonist, and it's all very personal. But it's absolutely gripping because it's real. He recreates who they were and what they said. He's a very good artist, too. Bill Griffith is the creator of Zippy the Pinhead, which was a syndicated strip in the Bay Area for many years. But you look at the work of R. Crumb or Spain Rodriguez, it's autobiographical and it's very powerful.
Mike, where can we find out more about you and your work?
Follow me on Twitter, @BloodyRedBaron. I have a website. It's bloodyredbaron.net. And if you go to Amazon and type my name in, all my books will pop up, including thousands of graphic novels on which I've worked, including Star Wars, Dead Man, Batman, and The Punisher.
For more great entrepreneurial insights, you can visit startupfoco.com, and we hope to see you at Startup Week.